Rolling the Rock. Zeus, Ares, Hermes, and Hades had not been pleased when they found out how Sisyphus had evaded death for a second time. Persephone had made her decision, however, and the ruling of one immortal could not be undone by another. When, after nearly 50 more years of serene and prosperous living, his wife's mortal span came at last to its end, the contract between Persephone and Sisyphus expired with her. Thanatos paid him a third and final visit. This time Sisyphus gave Charon the fee and crossed the Styx in good order. Hermes awaited him on the farther bank. "Well, well, well, King Sisyphus of Corinth, liar, fraud, rogue, and trickster, the man after my own heart. No mortal has managed to cheat death once. You contrive to do it twice. Clever you." Sisyphus bowed. "Such an achievement deserves a chance at immortality. Follow me." Hermes led Sisyphus down innumerable passageways and galleries to a vast underground chamber. A great ramp sloped up from the floor to the ceiling. A boulder stood at the bottom, lit by a shaft of light. "The upper world," said Hermes, indicating the source of the light. Sisyphus saw that the slope led up to a square inlet high in the roof, through which a beam of daylight shone. As Hermes pointed, the inlet closed up and the shaft of light disappeared. "Now, all you have to do is roll that boulder up the slope. When you reach the top, that hole will slide open. You will be able to climb out and live forever. As the immortal King Sisyphus, Thanatos will never visit you again." "That's it?" "That's it," said Hermes. "Of course, if you don't like the idea, I can take you to Elysium, where you will spend a blissful eternity in the company of other souls of the virtuous departed. But if you choose the stone, you must keep trying until you have succeeded and won your freedom and immortality. Make your choice, an idyllic afterlife down here, or a shot at immortality above." Sisyphus examined the boulder. It was bulky, but not colossally so. The slope was steep, but not precipitously. 45 degrees of gradient, but no more. So, an eternity skipping through the fields of Elysium with the dull and well-behaved, or eternity up above in the real world of fun, filth, frolic, and frenzy. "No tricks, no tricks, no pressure," said Hermes, putting his hand on Sisyphus's shoulder and flashing his most dazzling smile. "Your choice." You know the rest. Sisyphus put his shoulder to the boulder and began to push it up the slope. Halfway there, and he was confident that life eternal was assured. 3/4 done, and he was tired, but not blown. 4/5, and damn, this was hard work. 5/6, pain. 6/7, agony. 7/8, he was within an inch of the top now, within a fingernail's length. Just one more supreme effort, and no! The stone slipped, bounced over Sisyphus, and rolled down to the bottom. "Well, not bad for a first effort," Sisyphus thought to himself. "If I take my time, if I conserve my strength, I can get there. I know I can. I'll discover a technique. Maybe I'll go up backwards, taking the weight on my back. I can do this." Sisyphus is still there in the halls of Tartarus, pushing that boulder up the hill and getting almost to the top before it rolls back down and he has to start once again. He will be there until the end of time. He still believes he can do it. Just one last supreme effort, and he will be free. Painters, poets, and philosophers have seen many things in the myth of Sisyphus. They have seen an image of the absurdity of human life, the futility of effort, the remorseless cruelty of fate, the unconquerable power of gravity. But they have seen, too, something of mankind's courage, resilience, fortitude, endurance, and self-belief. They see something heroic in our refusal to submit.